Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Hey there.
For you, the listener, we have a really specific mission today. We're going to crack open a single historical document.
Just one.
Just one. And dig out the absolutely fascinating details it holds about people's movements. You know, a snapshot of German-speaking families emigrating back in the late 18th century.
That's right. And the document, it's a German text from August 1941 titled Kolonistenbriefe, Fünfter Brief, the Fifth Colonist Letter.
Okay.
It was published in Lublin by some, well, very specific German offices of that time. You've got the Grenz- und Volkspolitisches Amt working with the propaganda department under the chief of the Lublin district.
Okay, yeah, let's be completely upfront here.
Yeah.
This document, it definitely comes with significant historical baggage, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Published 1941, German administration, propaganda offices, WWII, occupied territory. It's really crucial to state that our focus here is solely on the historical info presented within this document about those 18th century migrations.
Exactly.
We are absolutely not endorsing the views or the context or, you know, the agenda of its publishers. Not at all.
No. Our goal is simply to impartially convey the content that's provided in this source material. Nothing more.
Right. So think of the document itself as, well, basically a list. It's framed kind of like an answer to a genealogy question. Where did your ancestors come
from?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it specifically tracks these German-speaking families who moved into what's called the Zamosherland. That's the area around the town of Zamos.
Yeah, Zamos, sure. Okay.
Mostly between, say, 1784 and 1787.
So our deep dive today is really into this list. We want to understand who these families were, but based only on what this document tells us.
Right.
Where they originally came from in Germany, the time frame they moved, where the source says they first settled in that Zamosherland.
And maybe the most interesting part.
Yeah.
Where it claims their descendants were living over 150 years later in 1941.
Which is quite something. It's a very specific piece of a historical puzzle pulled from this one source.
It really is. And, you know, for a single document, the level of detail it provides for this particular migration wave is, well, it's pretty remarkable.
Okay, let's start unpacking this list then. As we go through the entries, you should listen for some patterns. Like, where are these families coming from mostly? Where do they first land?
Yeah. The source organizes them by family name, so we'll just follow that lead. First up, the document lists several entries under the names Lambert and Lembert.
Bert and Lembert, okay.
And what's striking, like, right away is how many of these entries point to the Saarpfalz region. That's southwestern Germany.
Saarpfalz, okay.
So the source mentions a Jakob Lambert from Bliesrunsbach near Saarbrücken emigrating in 1785. There's a Johann Lambert from Schwarzenholz near Saarlautern, and another Jakob Lambert listed as a farmer from Uchtelfangen near Ottweiler.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently settled in Sniatis with a five-person family in 1785.
Okay, Sniatis. And there's another one.
Yeah, a Peter Lambert, also from Bliesrunsbach. He moved with a three-person family to Zamfer.
Right. Zampik. Okay, so right away, yeah, a definite cluster of origins from this Saarpfalz area. And two initial settlement villages mentioned, Snetiches and Zampke.
Exactly. And the document, it adds another layer for these Lamberts and Lemberts. It notes that by 1941, these families were actually writing their name as Lempert, L-E-M-P-E-R.
Name change, Lempert.
Well, yeah, and they were living in Plaski and Balabrzegi by then. So you see a name change and then a spread to new villages over time, according to the source.
Interesting. Okay, following the list, next we see Johann Leib.
Johann Leib, described as a farmer. He came from Niedersulbach.
Niedersulbach, where's that?
Also near Saarbrücken, another Saarpfalz location. He initially settled in Sniatis.
Sniatis again, same place as one of the Lambert families.
Right, and the document tells us that in 1941, his descendants were found in Dorbosi, Horizau, and Brody, so spread out a bit by then.
Okay, so another Saarpfalz origin, Sniatis settlement, makes sense. What about Peter Lembricht?
Peter Lembricht. He emigrated from Freimerheim by Landau, again, Saarpfalz.
Saarpfalz, okay.
In 1784, with a six-person family, the source says they were first settled down in Korchau, which is in the southern part of the Zamosser area.
Korchau, different spot.
Yeah, but by 1941, his descendants, who were now using the name Lembrich, L-E-M-B-R-I-C-H.
Lembrich, okay, another slight chain.
Yeah. They were living in Brody. So this is interesting. You see an initial settlement, Korchau, then a later move to Brody based on that 1941 data point.
Right. Okay, next up on the list is Johann Matthai. M-A-T-H-E-I-I.
Ah, here's a different origin point. Johann Matthai, a farmer, he emigrated with his wife and four kids from Zislo by Warren in Baden.
Baden? Okay, so southwest Germany, but further east than Saarpfalz.
Right. and he settled directly in Brody.
Straight to Brody.
Yeah. And the document specifically calls out his, quote, large descendants in 1941.
Large descendants. Okay.
Meaning, I guess, numerous. They were apparently widely spread across Brody, Antonioka, Bielobrzegi, Dorbozy, Horizau, Rogozno, and Sabodia.
Wow, seven different villages listed for the Mathai descendants in 1941. That really highlights how these families, once they got settled, could, well, branch out over the generations.
Absolutely. According to this record, that family definitely spread out.
Okay, how about Johann Metzger?
Johann Metzger.
Farmer. This brings us back to the Sarp Falls.
Back again.
Specifically, Niederwürzbach by St. Ingbert. He emigrated with his wife and one child and settled in Zamfrück.
Zamfrück, again, like Peter Lembert initially.
Right. The source notes that by 1941, the Metzger descendants were living in Rogozno, Antonioka, Brody, and Sabaudia.
Okay. And Joseph Past, P-A-S-T.
Joseph Past, okay. Another farmer. He also settled in Zamf.
Also Zamf. Seems like a popular spot.
It does for some of these groups.
Right.
He came with his wife and three children from Hockenheim by Bingen, which is in Rheinhessen.
Rheinhessen. It's along the Rhine River, right?
Exactly. And the document states the Past families in 1941 were found in Rogozna, Sabaudia, Antonioka, and Brody.
Huh. Very similar locations to the Metzger descendants. Yeah, and both families, remember, initially settled in Zamp. So it kind of hints, maybe, at how those initial settlement locations might correlate with where descendants are found later on.
Interesting observation. Okay, moving on in the list. We hit two entries for the name Paul, Johann and Peter.
That's right. And both Johann and Peter Paul, the source says, were born in Obersalbach by Saarbrücken.
Obersalbach. Back in the Sarpfalz.
You got it. Johann, a farmer, emigrated in 1784 with his wife, four kids, and settled in Hutschka in 1786.
Hutschka.
Peter also left in 1784 with his wife and three children and also settled in Hutschka.
So two families, same small village of origin, settling in the same new village, Hutschka, around the same time.
Exactly. And the document notes their descendants in 1941 were in Bielobrzegi, Hutschka itself, and Sataniak.
Okay. The source then groups three separate Petz families together, P-E-T-Z.
It does. And, well, guess what? All three, again, point to the Sarp Falls as their origin.
No surprise there, seems like.
Not really. There's Nicholas Petz from Obersalbach, same place as the Pauls. He came with five people, settled in Zampik.
Zamp again?
Another Nicholas Petz, this one from Winterbach near St. Wendel, came with three people, settled somewhere, unspecified in the Zamosherland. The source just says Zamosherland.
Okay, a bit vague on that one.
And then Thomas Petz from Pittlingen near Saarbrücken came with his wife and settled in Zamp.
Okay, so mostly Zamp for the Petz families too.
Yep. And despite their slightly varied origins within the Sarp Falls and destinations, their descendants in 1941 were concentrated in Hutschka and Pulaski, according to this document.
It's really fascinating how these little details paint a picture of, like, micro-migrations within the larger movement, isn't it?
It really is.
All right, what about Johann Pfeiffer? P-F-E-I-F-F-E-R.
Johann Pfeiffer. He was born in Sain bei Koblenz. That's in the Rhine province.
Okay, so further north along the Rhine compared to Rheinhessen.
Right. He emigrated east in 1784 and was settled in Rogozno in 1786. And by 1941, the Pfeiffer descendants, according to the source, were living in Brody.
Okay. Paul Pierrot is listed next. P-I-O-R-O-D.
Paul Pierrot. Emigrated with a four-person family from Niederwürzbach by St. Ingbert.
Niederwürzbach. Wait, didn't we hear that name before?
We did. Same town as Johann Metzger. Back in the Sarpfalz.
Ah, right. And where did Pierrot settle?
He settled in Zamfrem.
Zamf.
And the document notes his descendants now write their name as Puro. P-I-U-R-O.
Puro. Another name variation.
Yep. And they live in Rogozno, so another example of a name change recorded, plus a move from the initial settlement, Zamfrek, to a new one, Rogozno, by 1941.
Got it. Okay, the document includes two entries for Johann Presch, P-R-E-S-C-H.
Right. One, Johann Presch, a farmer, came from Mittelbollenbach near St. Wendel in the Rhine province, arrived in the Zamosherland in 1786.
Okay, and the other?
The source also lists a Johann Presch the Elder. He was from Heinkingen by Bolkum, in Lothringen.
Lothringen, so Lorraine, just west of the Sarpfalz near the modern French border.
Exactly. He settled in Zamfer with a six-person family.
Zunk again.
And the descendants of these two Prussian individuals by 1941 were apparently spread across Horisau, Antonioka, Sabaudia, Brody, and Dorbozy. Quite a few places.
Okay. Let's look at Christian Schramm, S-C-H-R-A-M-M.
Christian Schramm, born in Pittlingen by Saarbrücken.
Puttlingen, Sarbfalz again. We heard that with one of the Petz families, right? Thomas Petz.
Right, and as we'll see, the Spectre families too. So Puttlingen seems like another key origin spot.
Okay, so Schramm from Puttlingen.
He emigrated in 1784, settled in Satanic in 1786.
Satanic, okay.
According to the document, his descendants in 1941 were living in Huchka, Iloviec, and Horisau.
Huchka, Iloviec, Horisau, okay. And you mentioned Speicher. The source lists Johann and Nicholas Speicher, S-P-E-I-C-H-E-R.
Yep, both Johann and Nicholas Speicher were also born in Puttlingen.
Okay, from Puttlingen like Schramm.
Johann emigrated in 1784, came with his wife Katharina, whose maiden name was Balthus, and three children. They settled in Satanic in 1786.
Satanic, same as Schramm.
And Nicholas Speicher also settled in Satanic with his wife. Now, what's interesting here, the document notes that unlike Schramm's descendants who spread out a bit,
yeah,
the Speicher descendants later migrated together from Satanic to Huchka.
Ah, so a more consolidated family move described there from Satanic to Huchka.
Exactly. That's how the source presents it.
Okay. Michael Springer is next, and he's described with an occupation.
Yes, Michael Springer. Listed as both a farmer and a baker.
Farmer and baker, okay.
He emigrated in 1784 from Honeckermühl near Trippstadt, which is near Kaiserslautern, still in that broader Palatinate Sarkfalz region.
Honeckermühl, okay.
He settled in Satanic in 1785 with his wife Magdalena, whose maiden name was Thor, and her father, Jorg Thor.
Wait, so he came with his wife and his father-in-law?
Apparently so. That's what the source says. No. Multi-generational migration recorded together.
That's a great detail.
Yeah. And the source adds that the Springer descendants now use the name Springer, S-P-R-I-N-G-E-R.
Springer. Okay. Another change.
And they were living in Satanic, Bielobzegi, and Plosky in 1941.
Okay. Next, the Ternes family, which became Ternes. T-E-R-N-E-S.
Right. The source traces the Ternes families, who were in Horisau in 1941, back to a Johann Ternes, sometimes spelled Thurnes, T-H-E-R-N-E-S.
Okay.
He was a farmer, born in Gusterath by Trier in the Rhine province.
Trier area, okay. Rhine province again.
And he settled in Meebsen in 1785, came with a, well, significant family, 10 people in total.
10 people, that's a large group. Mm-hmm. Settled in Meebsen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, there's a specific detail mentioned about Franz Adam Tetich, or Tetich, T-E-T-T-I-C-H.
Yes, Franz Adam Tetich, born in Blesbulken by St. Ingbert.
Sarbfalz again?
Yep. Emigrated 1785, wife and child, settled in the Zamosserland in 1786. But what's really unique here is the document mentions his emigration passport.
His passport.
Yeah. It was actually illustrated in an earlier publication, The Third Colonist Letter.
Wow, they mentioned that specifically.
He did. And it also notes his brother-in-law was a guy named Marcus Denner, who had apparently already come to the Zamosserland before him.
So family connections helping the migration, perhaps.
Could be. And the family name, according to the source, is written Tetik today, T-E-T-Y-K.
Tetik, okay.
And it counts seven carriers of this name living specifically in the village of Sabadia in 1941.
That level of detail. The passport illustration reference, the brother-in-law, the exact number in Sabadia, that's a really specific nugget from this source.
It really is. Shows you the kind of records they were potentially drawing on.
Okay. Now, we saw the name Thor mentioned earlier in connection with the Springers.
Right. Magdalena Thor married Michael Springer.
Does the document list the Thor families separately, too?
It does. The Thor families, T-H-O-R, who were living in Horisau, Rogozno, and Satanic in 1941, they're traced back to Jorg Thor, the father-in-law we just mentioned.
Jorg Thor himself. Okay.
Came with his wife and five children from Trippstadt, by Kaiserslautern, same origin as Michael Springer. Jorg Thor settled in Satanic. And as we noted, his daughter Magdalena married Springer. So the document explicitly links these two families together across generations and locations.
Very cool. Okay, Nicholas Tindorfer, T-I-N-D-O-R-F-E-R, became Tindorf, T-Y-N-D-O-R.
Yeah, according to the source, the Tindorfs are descendants of Nicholas Tindorfer. He emigrated in 1784, came with his wife and a large family, seven children.
Seven kids, wow.
Settled in Meebsen in 1786. He was born in Guttweiler by Trier in the Rhine province.
Yeah, it's in the same place as Johann Ternes.
Right. And the document provides specific numbers for the Tindorfs in 1941. It says there were 15 Tindorf families living in Muskoka and four families in Horisau.
15 in Hiska, 4 in Horizau. Those specific counts are another really interesting detail the source includes.
Definitely. Gives you a sense of scale for that family by 1941, at least in those villages.
Okay, and Johann Deckendorf, D-E-C-K-E-N-D-O-R-F, known later as Tuckendorf, P-U-C-K-E-N-D-O-R-F.
Right, and the document actually notes Tuckendorf as the, quote, Polishized form of Deckendorf.
Ah, okay, so explicitly mentioning the linguistic adaptation.
Exactly, meaning the name adapted over time within the, you know, Polish-speaking environment of the Zamosher land. Johann Deckendorf himself, a farmer, was born in Weisenheim by Dürkheim in the Sarpfalz.
Sarpfalz again?
Emigrated 1784, settled in Miachen in 1786.
Miachen, so same village as Terness and Tendorfer. Seems like Madsen was another key settlement spot.
It seems so for folks from Rhine province and Sarpfalz based on these entries. And like the Matthew family, his descendants, the Tuckendorfs, were quite spread out by 1941. The source lists them in Horisau, Plaski, Antonioka, Brody, Huska, Rogozno, and Sitaniak.
Wow, another widely dispersed family by 1941. Okay, let's go back to maybe a less spread out family, Francois. W-A-L-L.
Francois, farmer, emigrated with a 5-person family from Rittersheim bei Kirchheimbolanden. That's in the Sarpfalz.
Okay.
He was settled in Bielobrise. And the document specifically notes that his descendants were still living in Bielobrise in 1941.
Still there, over 150 years later.
According to this source, yes. So that's a definite contrast to the families who spread widely or, you know, moved entirely from their initial settlement. Shows some stability, too.
Right. And Valentin Wayland, W-A-I-L-A-N-D, is maybe another example of descendants staying put?
Yes, seems like it. Valentin Wayland, farmer, emigrated with his wife and 4 children from Puttlingen by Saarbrücken.
Puttlingen again. Sarpfalz.
Wuss.
Like Schramm and the Speichers.
Right. Joining others from that town, he settled in Sitaniak.
Sitaniak.
And the source explicitly states the Wielands, W-E-L-L-A-N-D, were still living in Sitaniak in 1941.
Still in Sitaniak, okay.
Yeah.
And finally, the last one listed seems to be Daniel Welsch, W-E-L-S-C-H,
mm-hmm.
whose name became Welsch, W-E-L-C-Z.
Right, and like Tuckendorf, the source explains Welsch as the Polishized form of the German name Welsch.
Okay.
Daniel Welsch, farmer. Born in Niederwürzbach by St. Ingbert.
Niederwürzbach. That was the same place as Metzger and Pierrot, right? Sarpfalz.
Exactly. Good memory. He immigrated in 1787, so just slightly later than most of the others on this list.
1787. Okay.
And the document states the Welsch families were living in Dorbozy, Sitaniak, and Brody in 1941.
Dorbozy, Sitaniak, Brody. Okay. So, phew. That's a lot of names and places.
Yeah.
Stepping back from all the individual entries, what this document really gives us is, I mean, it's a very specific, almost forensic look at one particular migration wave, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It focuses tightly on these families, predominantly from various German-speaking regions, but with a really clear concentration from that Sarpfalz area.
Yeah, Sarpfalz comes up again and again.
And it shows them making the journey to the Zamosher land in, well, mostly the late 1780s.
Right, and it's not just a simple list, like family X came from place A to place B.
No, not at all. It gives dates, sometimes family sizes, it pinpoints those initial settlements, you know, Sniatises, Hutska, Sitaniak, Miatsin, Korcho.
Mm-hmm.
And then, crucially, it uses that 1941 perspective to tell us where those families' descendants were supposedly living, sometimes still in the original village, like the Walls or Wielands, sometimes spread across many villages, like the Matthias or Tuckendorfs, sometimes under slightly different names, often, as we saw, noted as Polishized.
Yeah. It's really a fascinating snapshot of population dynamics playing out across, what, more than a century and a half,
yeah,
all contained within this single document from 1941.
It really is remarkable just how much history of movement, settlement, and even, you know, name evolution is packed into this list.
And you think about what this reveals about historical population movements more broadly. You know, it shows people leaving very specific places, like Bliesransbach or Puttlingen, traveling quite a distance to settle in a new territory.
Right. Facing things like their names changing over time in that new environment.
Right. And their families either spreading out or maybe consolidating over generations.
Yeah.
This one document, it captures a real segment of that complex human story of migration and settlement.
And it's important, I think, to remember just how unique this level of specific family detail is coming from a single historical document like this. It allows us, you know, a listener, to really see the names, the places, the timelines,
mm-hmm,
and the sort of enduring presence of these families in the Zamosher land, at least as it was recorded from that 1941 viewpoint.
Okay, so to wrap up our deep dive into this 1941 colonist and brief, fifth debrief, What have we seen? Well, we've unpacked this meticulous list, detailing families like Lembert, Leib, Lembrick, Mate, Metzger, Past, Paul, Petz, Pfeiffer, Puro, Presch, Schramm, Speicher, Springer, Ternus, Tetik, Thor, Tindorf, Tuckendorf, Wall, Weiland, and Welch. That's quite a roll call.
It is.
We've learned about their origins, mostly in places like the Saarpfalz, but also Rheinprovinz, Baden, Rheinhessen, even Lothringen.
Right. Their settlement in the Zmatra land mostly between 1784 and 1787.
And how their descendants, according to this specific source, were distributed across villages like Plaski, Balobrigi, Horiska, Brody, Antonioka, Dorbozi, Rogosno, Sabadia. And the original settlement spots, too, like Sniati, Zamp, Huska, Setaniak, Miatsin, Korcho, by 1941.
Often with those documented name changes thrown in.
Exactly. And again, it's crucial to stress all of this detail, the specific locations, the family names in 1941, the name changes. It comes solely from the text of this particular document, published in Lublin in 1941.
That's the lens we have.
Precisely. Which brings us, I think, to our final thought for you, the listener, to consider. Here we have this document. Created for, let's be blunt, specific administrative and propaganda purposes in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, it painstakingly records the movements of families that happened over 150 years earlier. So what does it mean when historical information about people's journeys, their identities, their presence in a place, is collected and presented so much later by authorities who clearly had their own distinct goals and context?
That's a really interesting question.
Yeah. How does this simple but incredibly detailed listing of names, places, and dates make you think about the remarkable persistence of family history across generations? And maybe about how different historical layers, the 1780s migration, the 1941 recording, can get captured, sometimes quite unexpectedly, within a single historical record, something to mull over.